Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Hingham native Matthew Trevithick is now home with his family. The 30-year-old Trevithick was studying Farsi in Tehran when he was detained and then held for 40 days in a notorious Iranian prison. His mother, Amelia Newcomb, spoke with WBUR about her son's detention.
Well, needless to say, we were very concerned, and it's not an easy thing to go through, although I know the other families have gone through much more in terms of the length of time their loved ones have been imprisoned. But we all hung together and I think did pretty well throughout the ordeal. We obviously feel very happy, and I should note, as I've noted elsewhere, that we're incredibly grateful to all the diplomats who put so much work into making this happen.
Trevithick is a 2008 Boston University graduate. He studied international relations with Andrew Bacevich, who's Professor Emeritus of International Relations and History at BU. And Andrew Bacevich joins us now. Professor, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, thanks very much.
Well, first of all, can you tell us what's Matt like?
Well, he's I had a lot of wonderful students at BU, but Matt is a very special one. A young man who exudes energy, curiosity, exuberance, somebody who clearly wanted to learn how the world works and decided that the best way to do that was to plunge right into that world. And that's what he's been doing since he graduated from BU a few years ago.
Hmm. Have you spoken with him since he got back to Boston last night?
I have not. I learned of his detention when it was announced that he had been released. We exchange emails from time to time, and he lets me know what he's been up to, but I had not heard about this.
Hmm. Let's talk about that a little bit. You know, he served as a research assistant at one time to Robin Wright, who's a contributing writer for The New Yorker, and that was shortly after he graduated from BU. And our reporter, WBUR's Simone Rios, spoke with Robin Wright, and she said that Matt's family did not make his capture widely known, and that was at the request of the State Department.
One of the first calls I received on Saturday when Matt's name was first released was from Barham Saleh, the Prime Minister of Kurdistan, who wanted to know about Matt, how he was doing, and said if he'd known, he would have done more to try to win his release.
So I'm wondering, Professor Bacevich, why would there have been this level of secrecy around this?
Well, I can only speculate. Hmm. I really don't know. But my speculation would be that people within the State Department calculated that keeping it quiet may actually have made the negotiations somewhat easier. I mean, we have to understand that Matt's detention, along with the detention of the other Americans who were released, really figured as something of a sidebar in a much, much larger story. And that's the story of this recalibration of relations between the United States and Iran, ongoing, now just having reached a new phase with the implementation of the nuclear agreement. So my guess, again, it's simply that, is that given the priority assigned to moving ahead with the nuclear agreement, that people may have viewed this ancillary issue as something that ought to be kept quiet.
Hmm. So let's talk about that a little bit in terms of the relationship between the U.S. And Iran. This release occurred the same day that four Americans were freed, shortly before Iran was declared to be in compliance with the nuclear deal that was reached in July, and shortly after Iran released 10 U.S. Navy sailors. So if you look at the whole picture of what might be going on here, how would you describe diplomatic relations between the U.S. and Iran?
That both Washington and Tehran have concluded that they have a common interest in ending the isolation of Iran from the international community and ending the complete estrangement of the United States and Iran that has been in existence now since 1979, 1980. That doesn't mean that we are friends, allies, that we're letting bygones be bygones. It means that the convergence of interests on the part of both parties is such that they have agreed to put aside some differences and to find common cause in some other respects. I think the big question now, I am in the camp that has believed that the nuclear deal is really not about nukes. I mean, that's not the primary purpose. The aim on both sides is this restoration of a relationship. I think the big question now is how is that going to play out? And to tell you the truth, the release of Matt, the other Americans, the swiftness with which the capture of the U.S. Naval personnel was resolved, all those ought to be seen as, in a small way, signs of optimism and hope.
Hmm. But, of course, this whole issue with Saudi Arabia could complicate things, right?
No, absolutely. I would argue that we may well be in the early stages of seeing the United States readjust its position relative to this big rivalry between Iran and Saudi Arabia. We have been committed to the defense of Saudi Arabia since World War II. That has involved us in any number of wars, large and small. Some people may think that support of Saudi Arabia has benefited the United States. I don't believe that. And it's quite possible that, again, not that we're somehow moving towards aligning ourselves with Iran, but that we're moving toward finding a more balanced position between these two regional allies. Regional adversaries.
Yeah, I want to go back to Matt Trevithick and his release and the work he was doing in Iran. We know that he was working at the American University of Iraq, and he was communications director for the American University in Kabul. He also co-founded a nonprofit in southern Turkey, and he was said to be studying Farsi. Why is this kind of work important? And when things like this happen, how do you think it affects students who might be interested in doing similar work?
Well, gosh, on the latter thing, I hope it doesn't have too much of a discouraging effect. I'm of an age when young Americans grew up and thought that the world meant Europe, or maybe the world meant Europe and Australia. And the inclination of Americans of my generation to connect culturally to others in other places was not non-existent, but it was fairly limited. And I think Matt is an example of a generation that appreciates that there is a great need for us to have a better understanding of all kinds of people all around the world. And one of the ways you do that is by living amongst them, sharing their experiences, learning their language. I think that there's a great inclination in American higher education to encourage those kinds of things, and there's going to be bumps in the road, but I think that the long-term benefits of Americans connecting more broadly with peoples around the world are likely to outweigh any of the downsides.
All right. Andrew Basevich is a professor emeritus of international relations and history at Boston University. Professor Basevich, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.